All power is in his hands. You're in his hands today, amen? How great is our God. Amen. Thank you again, Brother Jones. One of our new members here at Crossroads. We do ask that you keep those in prayer that are in need of prayer, and that you would indeed ask God to bless them. We have some that are in the hospital, have families that have gone through times of bereavement, and we certainly ask that you would pray for them, that the Lord would give them strength, that he would guide them and keep them through this very difficult time. And so again, keep them in prayer. It is the beginning of the year, and I just want to let you know that we will be having our church meeting. I believe it's going to be on the 19th. The 19th of this month, we're going to have our first church meeting of 2024. And 1 hour, I say 5:30, but 1 hour before the church meeting, which meets at 7, going to meet with all of our leaders, all of our staff here at the church. We want to have our first meeting of the year so that we can all have a plan as to what we're going to be doing going forward. Amen? So meeting with the staff at 5:30, and church leaders, auxiliary leaders, 5:30, and then church meeting at 7, and then we can move on with our business for this year. We're celebrating God's faithfulness. Celebrating God's faithfulness. That's our theme for the year, taken from Psalm 89. God has been faithful to every one of us. He has not failed. He may not have done it the way you wanted him to, but God is faithful, and we can certainly celebrate that. I want to look at our scripture today, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 is where we find our scripture text. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to share with you the subject today, the power of faith. The power of faith. Shall we pray? God, again, we thank you for blessing us to be able to come and to share your word. We thank you for these that have gathered here, those that are online. We're certainly praying for them. Many of them far and near, they're listening now through YouTube and Lord, through Facebook and other means. We're praying that you would bless them. Keep them in thy grace and in thy love. More importantly, God, teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. We love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. You know, we could really go on and on describing faith and how faith works. But until you apply it, until you begin to walk by faith, it's just going to be information. A couple of things that we're going to be bringing out in this sermon today, and we talk about, it has to do with listening closely to what God is saying to you, because faith can only operate based on what God has given you. Anything else is just belief. And the ways of man, as you and I have well found out over the years, the ways of man will fail us. Our ways have failed us, but God's ways never fail. He's always powerful, and he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. So the first thing that we need to consider today as we think about faith, we've got to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Is your faith working? How is your faith working in your life? What's it doing for you? It says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. All right, so how does that work? You can't see it. A lot of people say, let me see. Well, that's not faith. If you can see it, it's not faith. It's already manifested. It's reality now. Faith is something that is going to happen. Notice very carefully, now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence. Everybody say evidence. Evidence. The evidence of things not seen by the eye. You can't see God, can you? But you can see the manifestation of God. You can see the things that he's created. You can see God moving in various ways, signs and wonders that he sends among us. So we can see God. We can see God through the word. So the fact that you can't see God physically does not mean that God does not exist. You can't see love either, can you? But you'll know when you're in love, right? You can't see fear, but every one of us have been afraid. And these things are very real to us. Faith is real to you. Now, the Bible speaks of three things that are necessary or things that are permanent in our love, in our life. Love, faith, and hope. Those three things, they will always be. There will never be a time where they do not exist. And so what I want to focus on is your faith today. So this raises not only the question of, is your faith working, but we have to think about, are you where you need to be? If our faith is working, it's obviously going to move us in a direction. And what's that direction? That direction is moving closer to God. So how are you doing with your faith? Everybody making New Year's resolutions, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing that. Everybody going to the gym. But what about your relationship with God? Those of you that are online, as you listen to this, you got to think about where you are now. And if you're not satisfied with where you are now, God has a plan for you to move forward. God has a plan for you to progress in your life, and that progression is going to come through faith. Which raises the third question that we have to look at. Where will you be next year this time? And I can tell you that if you're going to be the same place next year this time, you really haven't moved anywhere. You really haven't progressed. You haven't moved forward in your life. When you think about God and you think about the working of God, with God working and you being in the position of where you are, that working is going to come through faith. So we can better read this scripture by saying, now the faith that I have is the substance of things hoped for. I'm praying that God would move me forward. It is the evidence of things not seen. And then it says in that verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. By how? How do they do that? By faith. They walked by faith. They didn't go by what they saw. I'm afraid, and as I get in further into this message, I'm afraid that many people are now being persuaded by a device that they hold in their hands, no bigger than the palm of their hand. Everything, people are living the Google life. They're letting that thing dictate to them, and it may be true, it may not be true. And if it's true for one person, it doesn't mean that it applies to you. They're caught in a trap, caught in a vicious cycle of having information but not knowing what to do with it. If you want to know where the embodiment of what we call the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you want to know where it's at in modern times, it's right in the palm of your hand. You can learn anything about anything, or even what people might even think about, you can learn it right there from that device. But the question is, how is it going to help you? If it's not going to help you, ladies and gentlemen, if you get it into your life, the only thing you have now is more baggage. Everybody say baggage. And Lord knows you don't need any more baggage than what you already have. So let's look at the power of faith. Let's look at how it works and what does God want us to do with this faith that we have. We have to first think about the provision of faith. How was faith given? Is it something that we come up with, or is it something that God gives us? Well, Romans 12:3 helps us to solve that problem. It helps us answer that question. It tells us faith is a gift. Faith has been given to you and me, to everyone God has dealt, given, gifted, the measure of faith. As a matter of fact, when you got saved through faith. The moment you started feeling something move on the inside of you that you were not right with God, faith started working and said, let me get you closer. Let me get you to the place of repentance. So faith started moving, said, okay, first thing you need to do is to repent. You got to change your mind, change your idea, change your concept of what you think is right and accept God's righteousness. So that faith was there when you repented. The faith was there when you said, Lord Jesus, because nobody can say Lord Jesus or Jesus is Lord except through faith and by the gift of the Holy Spirit that's operating in them. Just can't do it. And with your mouth, confession was made unto salvation. So faith was working. How many of y'all saved? How many know what I'm talking about? Now, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. Because faith went to work. Faith guided you. Let's bring up an example here. Abram and Sarai at the time, because when they began their walk with God, they didn't know what God was doing. They were in their home environment. I'm going to use the term environment because a lot of us, we stay in the same environment and we expect things to change, but sometimes you got to get out of that place. And it may not be a geographical area that you're moving to. God spoke to Abram and Sarah, said, listen, you need to get out of Ur of the Chaldees. You need to get out of your home country and go to a place that I will show you. That's what God said to them. Now, I want to introduce you to Abram's father, man by the name of Terah. I guess that's right. At least that's what I call him, T-E-R-A-H. He also had a desire to move out of where he was living. He got as far as this place called Haran, and he parked there. He said, this is as far as I can go. Why? He wasn't walking by faith. Maybe something started moving early, but then it stopped moving when he got to what we call comfortable. All of us want to be comfortable. If I can get enough money, if I can pay my house note off, if I can just do this, and if I can get some investments, if I can reach here, I will be comfortable. Is that faith? Faith is when you reach God. Faith is to have that walk with God, to be talking with Him and living by faith through Him. That's real faith. Terah didn't make it. As a matter of fact, he died in Haran. And my suspicion is, by the end of this year, some of you all are going to be doing the same thing you did on December 31st. Not a whole lot going to change. Was it a result of the failure of faith? No, it was the result of our failure to follow our faith. Faith is always progressive. It's always moving in the direction of God. It's getting to the place where God wants me to be. It's saying, God, your way, not my own. It's saying to God, I believe that what you're showing me is right. And the Bible said that when the Lord spoke to Abram and told him, get out of your father's country. Get out from around your relatives. Go to the place where I will show you. And the verse 4 of that chapter 12 of Genesis says, Abraham moved. He left. And not only did he leave, and into the land of Canaan he came. Strange land. God didn't give him any roadmap. Some of you, you're saying, I've got some plans for this year, maybe something different in your life, different job, different atmosphere, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to do it. God will give you the roadmap. As a matter of fact, He'll not only give you the roadmap, God will also give you the strength and the energy to get to the place where He wants you to be. You've simply got to trust Him. Which brings us to the subject of the process of faith. Not only are we looking at the fact that we are walking by faith, we got to look at the process of faith and I want to read a verse to you in Genesis 12 and verse 1, because that one is really important to us. God speaking to Abraham, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of thy country and from your kindred." From who? That means kinfolk. All right? All of us got them, right? You got cousins. Some of you got brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, right? And some of them are godly. But how many of y'all going to be real and know that all of them ain't godly? As a matter of fact, some of them are just as negative as they could be. I can imagine what they would have said to Abraham. "Man, you know you're too old trying to go to some place called. You've never been there before. Don't let people talk you out of what God talks you into." All right? It's your life. God is saying to you, you walk by faith and not by sight. You are where God wants you to be when you get into that environment of faith. Surround yourself with positive people. Why are you going to let folk talk down to you? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of you in this room have had people to tell you, you ain't going to ever be nobody. Amen. And it didn't just come from folks you didn't know. It came from your kinfolk. Here's the question you ought to ask me. Ask them, have you been into my future? And do you know what God knows? And unless you know what God knows, quit talking to me. All right, now, I see some of y'all, you got fire in your eyes. Wait a minute. It didn't mean to hate people, all right? Nowhere in this passage did it say, hate the ones that are around you. It said, just leave them alone. Okay? Can't hate them. You're to love them, but just love them at a distance. When they come, start coming to your house, turn the lights off. How do you leave your old environment? How do you leave that behind you? Your old environment may not just involve people, it may involve habits. Things that have held you at a certain point in your life and have said to you, you're never going to get any better. You got to break that old environment. You've got to say to yourself, I'm going to get better because God is going to help me. If you resolve that in your life, if you start saying to yourself, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I believe I can improve. I believe I can get out of this attitude. Sometimes your environment may be your attitude. You know how you do sometimes. You know, folks say a thing to you, you fly off the handle. Hello? Am I getting too close? What I'm trying to tell you is that if God is going to take time to speak to you as he did to Abram, 75 years old, never had been to the place where God promised him, but he said, you know what? God, if you said it, I'm going to do it. So the first step of saying that I'm going to discover faith, it means that you've got to take that first step, getting out of your environment. Stop letting the negative message go through your head and tell you that you're somehow limited, you're somehow unworthy, you're somehow not supposed to have it. If God says it's yours, guess what? It's yours. It may take you a while. You may have to go some distance, but I believe that if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Start believing. And start today. Starting today, things are going to change. Starting today, your life is going to be different. The shackles that have been holding you, they're going to be broken. And you're going to start saying to yourself, you know what? I believe I can. With God on my side, nothing is impossible. If he brought me this far, and guess how far? Some of y'all, you're getting up there. I know you're telling yourself, I'm still young. Your mirror ain't lying. But the fact that you're old does not mean that you're out of it. If you still got blood flowing through your vein, if you still got oxygen flowing in and out of your lungs, you're as young as God says you are. And you can do some incredible things because you believe in Almighty God. There was something else that attracted Abram. God never tells you leave something without giving you a promise of something. Let me repeat that because I need to hear it. God never tells you leave something without giving you a promise of something. Now, a promise is just that. It doesn't mean it's right there. Doesn't mean you go 10 steps and then you're going to get it. Doesn't mean that you go a month and all of a sudden, oh, voila, here it is. This is not a microwave faith that we're talking about. This thing is going to take a good walk. Everybody say good walk. From where Abram was several hundred miles that he had to travel. Long journey. But you know what he said? I'm in for the journey. I can do it. I can take it. I want you to resolve in yourself and say to yourself, I can make the journey. Say that with me. I'm going to make this journey. How are you going to do it? Step by step. Walking in faith. Believing that the same God who made the promise. Notice what God said in this. Notice what he said in verse 3, Genesis 12. Let's start with verse 2. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. Why are we talking about Abram today? Right here. Right here. He believed God. He believed that God could do something with his life. Now, your promise may not be that incredible, but I'm going to get to your promise in just a little bit. I'm going to get to your promise. I'm going to get to the promise that God makes to you. And guess what? God cannot break his promise, because if he breaks his promise, everything fades away. So far, we still got a world, right? No matter how much man tries to tear it up, God still has given us a world. We live in it. If you look out in the stars at night, those are not just twinkle, twinkle little stars. Those are planets. You're talking about a mighty God who said and spoke all those things into being, and he has never broken not a single promise. He said, Abram, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a nation. And you know what the Bible says about it? Abraham believed God. I'm asking you a question today. Do you believe God? And if you say, well, I don't know. Wait a minute. You're back in the old environment. You're back in the negativity. You'll never get out of it until you say to yourself, what God has for me is better. I got to go through something to get to it. But I'm going through something. If I stay in this mess, I might as well move on out. Might as well talk to God. People are going to call you crazy, but guess what? If you stay where they are, you're going to be crazy. How many of y'all ready for a faith walk in 2024? How many of you are ready to do something that you've never done before? How many of you are bold enough in God to say that the same God that brought me safe thus far, he's going to keep me every step of the way? How many of you are going to say yes to God and no to that environment? You're going to say, I'm going to move forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that today. And I feel the power of God in this room today. Because there's some of you who say to yourself, you know what, preacher, you're right. I've had enough of them folk. I've had enough of the same old negativity, the same old attitude, the same old consequences. I've had enough of the same old excuses. So the process of faith means to step out of that environment and start walking towards your promise. Oh, I did tell you there's a promise for you, right? You want me to read it to you? Or you want to read it to yourself? Listen to what it says now. Listen very carefully to what it says. Because I used to read this like, this doesn't involve me, this involves Abram. Listen to what it says in verse 3. And matter of fact, write it down or go into your Bible. This is my promise. Okay? Here we go. And I will bless them that bless you. Is that you? Do you bless people? Are you a blessing to Abram? All right, we said, well, maybe, I don't know, I don't know. Hold on a minute. Got another one here. If you haven't gotten there yet, hold on. And I will curse him that curses you, and in you, are you reading this? Shall all. Reverend Gibbons, thank you for that definition of all. All means all. And that's all that all means. It means everybody. Are you somebody? Then if you're somebody, you're part of the all. I'm not talking about the detergent. I'm talking about a promise from God. The detergent comes in a little container. But God says, no, I don't need a container, because when I pour out your blessing upon you, there won't be room enough to receive it. When I read this thing, Miss Kabler, I said, what? Yeah. All families of the earth shall be blessed. Yeah. David, that's me. Yeah. That's you. That's your family. Al, that's your family. Yeah. That anybody that says, I'm going to be blessed through Abraham, but you got to do it by faith. Yeah. Yeah. You can't come up with this goody-two-shoes religion. I deserve it. Oh, you don't know what you deserve. You don't have a clue as to what you deserve. Amen? But God didn't give me what I deserve. He gave me what I needed. Right, let me get back to my notes. So there's a promise here. Get out of your environment. Start walking. What you gonna do with the rest of your life anyway? Wander around like you've been doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And where's my purpose? I don't know. I'm lost. Start walking. Look at somebody, tell them, start walking. Amen. Get out of the environment. Get out of the negative thinking. Start toward the promise of God. I don't just want to be a blessing. Amen. I don't just want the blessing. I want to be a blessing. If I could bless somebody, if I can help somebody, and watch this now. You thought Jesus, or Paul says, Jesus taught it's better to give than to receive. And I kind of wondered about that thing, Becky. I said, wait a minute, receiving is pretty good. You know, when you're getting something, you know, somebody give you something, you say, man, thank you. I ain't had that before. But when you give, it means you already got it. Some of y'all missed it. Let me say it again for those of you that missed it. When you get, you didn't have it. Now you got it because somebody gave it to you. But when you give it, it means you already had it in the first place. You got more than what you think you do. You can do more than what you think you can. Because when God gets a hold of you, don't let me start preaching up here. When God gets a hold of your life, He is able to do the impossible. God can do some amazing things. My wife and I this week, we visited a place called Biltmore. Some of y'all been there. Great big old house. 250 rooms. And I got up to the top of the hill, which is the second time I've seen it, you know. So I got up to the top of the hill. I said, wow. But the guy that they called the Commodore, the original one, started off with $100. I'm not saying everything that he did was good, but they are benefiting the community now because they're a blessing because of that one guy that said to himself, I believe I can do something if I just had a chance. You and me, we are on the brink of greatness. There is no limit to what God can do with a person that says, God, I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to walk You don't have to be Vanderbilt. You don't have to be all of that. You don't have to be a Carnegie. You don't have to be all of those people. What's your last name? My name's Coleman. I'm proud of it. Anybody got a problem with it? I try to convince the folks, that the camper folk, that I'm related to them. They don't want to own me. But it doesn't matter what they say I am. It matters what God says I am. Let me hurry up and wrap this sermon up. Henry Crane gives us a couple of things to help us to work through and to walk through this thing called faith. Had a little devotional that he gave, and I was reading that the other day, and I stumbled across it. I said, man, this is good stuff here. Because everybody looks at faith and they think it's some mystical force, kind of like the Star Wars type of thing, where you have Luke, the force is with you. That's not how faith works. It says faith is the substance. Substance means that even though you can't see it, you can experience it. Jesus became substance to us. Jesus is very real to us. He's brought us this far, hasn't he? Do you have any doubt in your mind that he's not going to take you all the way? I'm confident. The same God that brought me this far is going to lead me on. So the first thing that Henry Crane brings out is that in order for us to walk by faith, we must receive and not reject. Receive and not reject. By receiving, you're saying, hey, I believe that this can apply to my life. Ladies, you'd be familiar with this. There's a difference between shopping. My wife's ears just perked up. There's a difference between shopping and buying. All right, y'all got that? Shopping means you're going to look at it. Then put it back on the rack. Buying means you're going to go up to the register. The famous words for my wife is, charge it. Boy, she's going to really get me, David. I need some help. I got any bodyguards over there? Fred? Okay, Fred, thank you. Going back to Terah, he knew it was right for him to go to Canaan. Whether God told him directly, I don't know, but something within him said, Terah, get out from your folk, man, and head toward Canaan. He rejected it. Had good intentions. I would have gone, but you know how it is when you get around folk and everybody wants you to lend them $20, next thing you know, my pockets are empty. Whatever his excuse was, I don't know, but I can tell you emphatically from Scripture, when you read the end of chapter 11 of Genesis, you read a faith tragedy. It said he died in Haran. Didn't go a step further. Started. What happened? He rejected. The way that I'm telling you about may not be easy, but it's possible. Some of you elders in this church, your way has not always been easy, but you kept moving. You kept walking by faith. Things happened to you. You didn't give up. Why? Because you received what God has given you, and you said, I'm going to keep going. So the first thing, receive versus reject. Second thing, respond versus react. I'm going to give you the situations that we fall into. How many of y'all had situations, just stuff that come up, just different? I started to go down the street, but I don't know whether y'all could take it the first Sunday of the year. There have been people who lost their faith in God because of church folk. Can I preach? Well, you didn't speak to me last Sunday. Now, look, I'm a very hospitable person. But if you don't speak to me, ain't no skin off my back. And the next time you decide you want to speak, I can forgive you. Because I don't live in yesterday. I live in this thing called today. The fact, can I praise God just for a few minutes? The fact that he woke me up this morning, told me that I was going to be all right. The fact that I was able to get out of my bed. My wife did not have to feed me this morning. I ate on my own. I fed my own self. Can I get a witness in here? Some of you all are letting stuff come into your life and you're reacting rather than respond. But guess what? I'm going to respond and I'm going to tell God yes. Anybody got a yes in here? You can't keep reacting. You talk about situation. Here's a girl in a situation. And I say girl because she was about the age of 15, 16 years old, maybe 17 years old. Mary was in a situation. The angel said to her, "Hail, thou who art highly favored." I can remember the part from that play. Okay, but anyway, here's the situation. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. She could have reacted. "Wait a minute, I ain't married. Hold up here. Hold up, man. I don't know about this thing. I don't know. Of course you don't know because God didn't tell you yet. You're not supposed to know. You're supposed to listen. You're not supposed to figure it out. It's not going to make sense if it makes faith, which means you can't see it yet. But you keep moving. Keep moving forward, and it's going to happen. In the conversation, Gabriel explains to Mary, the power of God is going to come upon you. And you're going to conceive in your womb a child. Mind you now, she knows that she's not wedded yet, right? She knows also that if this happens, folks going to talk. No, y'all spiritual. You spiritual now. You don't see it. Let a young girl get pregnant nowadays. Well, nowadays, people don't. But before, you get marched in front of the church. So here you go. I'm going to tell everybody, My question is, where the man at? That's another story, another sermon for another time. Okay. You ain't, okay. Rather than reacting, Mary responded. Here's how she responded. She didn't say, "Well, okay, I'll take it over from here, Gabriel. Just let me do what I need to do." Here's her response. "Be it done unto you according to your word." Go back and read it. Go back and read it. She said, "I'm not about to come up with my own plan." That's the problem with a whole lot of folk. You got your own plan. You got your own playbook. I can see you now, like a football coach over there calling out the plays. Okay, if somebody does this to me, then I'm going to do such and such and such and such. And they don't know what you got going on in your heart, but it ain't good because of the way you look. You just got this look in your eye. Okay, you mess up if you want to. Get rid of the playbook. Start getting into this book. Then you can start walking by faith. You can start responding to what God is telling you, and you're going to be a whole lot further on in your journey come the end of 2024. Amen. You're going to be a whole lot further on than you were when you started this journey. How about that? Is that good? Amen. All right, last thing. Now I'm going to really, you think I've been picking on church, but now I'm going to really pick on y'all. Look around the room and find out how many people smiling. And I know you're smiling now because we said you. Some of y'all got this look on your face like, "Man, I'd be glad to get out of here, man. I got tired of listening to this preacher telling me how to live my life. I'll just be glad." You got to have a rejoicing spirit versus a rebellious one. I'm going to be very brief with this one. Then I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down because y'all can't take no more. The children of Israel were to walk by faith when they left Egypt. God had given them enough signs and wonders for them to know that he was God. And if they had any doubt whatsoever, all they had to do was look up at the cloud. Would you agree? Cloud of God guided them. But as soon as they got into the wilderness, it wasn't even over one day, and they ran out of water. Guess what they started doing? Grumbling. Murmuring. And notice, they had been brought out of Egypt, out of bondage. And they asked Moses, why'd you bring us out here just to die in this wilderness? We've been better off in Egypt. I can only imagine how Moses felt, because sometimes as a pastor, I kind of feel like, Lord. But that's another sermon for another time. You got to have a rejoicing spirit. When you rejoice, you hold your head up over your problem. You're not look. It doesn't say you don't have a problem, but it said God is greater than my problem. God didn't bring me this far to leave me now. When you rejoice, you're saying to yourself, God, I'm still with you. It might hurt. God, it might be painful, but if you brought me this far, I'm going to keep on stepping. If you give me the strength, step by step, we're going to make this journey, even if I have to walk all by myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've got to have a rejoicing spirit. Otherwise, the world is going to break your heart. Keep on breaking your heart. But when you start rejoicing, it builds a fence around your heart. Amen. You start saying to yourself, God is still good. Amen. My circumstance is bad. My finances are bad. Sometimes your health might be bad. Everything else is breaking down. But when I look up, I see my God. I see how faithful he is, and I know that if he brought me this far, he's going to take me every step of the way. I want to ask a question at the close of this message. Do we have any determined people? Do we have anybody who says, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to keep looking up. I'm going to keep smiling. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, all things work together for good. To them that love God. Sometimes your life may feel all broken up like an egg in a cake. You know, you're saying, why in the world did they break? And then you get to stirring it up. But the next thing you know, when that cake comes out of the oven, you say, man, that is good. Guess what? God is working on you. He is working on me. I don't know what he's going to do, but all I know is I'm going to keep on serving him. I'm going to keep on believing him, and I'm going to have a rejoicing spirit. Anybody got a smile on your face? Anybody got joy in your heart? Let God. Let God have his way. I preached long enough. I'm going to sit down now. Coleman going to sit down now. But ain't he good? That's not proper English, but I tell you what, it's good spirituality. God is good. I'm going to ask that you all stand. I want to give the invitation. There might be someone online who's listening, and we've been talking about the power of faith. You got to receive versus reject. You got to make sure that you have a rejoicing spirit versus saying it's not going to turn out. You got to rejoice in your heart and know that God is faithful. But not only that, you have to make sure that you're not rebelling against what God's will is for your life. If that's been you, all you got to do is say, I've been wrong. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust God. I know those of you online, you can't come in here, but you can write to us, respond to us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'll try to respond to you and help you on your journey. If you are in here and you believe that God has spoken to you today for you to start that walk of faith, what a great way to do it. By saying yes to Christ. Maybe you've never responded to an altar call today or before, but you're saying, today is my day. I want to do that. The altar's open. If there are any that are in need of Christ, any that want to join the church, we give the invitation. Whoever will, let him come. There be others today. You may be seated. You got your parents come up with you. How you doing? What's your name?
Sierra.
Sierra. That's a pretty name. All right, Sierra. And what's your name? Yeah, I remember when you were. Wow. What happened? You just kind of grew up, huh? See what faith can do? Amen. They started off as little babies in our youth church. And now today, something is happening in your life. So you came up that you would give your life to the Lord?
Yes.
You want to be baptized? Is that it? Amen. And you also? Okay, this is Sierra. I didn't get your name again. Neville? Okay, that's a pretty name too. Y'all pick some good names. Amen. Neville and Sierra, they've come. And you could be candidate for baptism as well? Okay. Both of them are candidates for baptism. And what is your pleasure this time? And properly moved in second to receive Sierra and Neville as candidates for baptism. Robinson, last name, and as candidates for baptism. What is your pleasure? All in favor, vote. Any contraries? So moved and carried. The reason why we vote is that we as a congregation, we're saying we're going to support them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to help them. We're going to be that good environment. That garden where they can grow up in, and so far they've done a good job. Y'all have done a good job. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray with them, and some of you may be in the audience. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, I need to say this prayer. So let's hold hands and we're going to pray. I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, today I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe that you're my Lord and Savior. Help me to be the best Christian that I can be. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Welcome. And we're going to be having baptism on the fourth Sunday in this month. We have five other candidates and you two as well. And we'll be baptizing on the fourth Sunday this month at 9:30. Need to get here by 9, so we'll have our baptism here at Crossroad. Amen? Amen? Amen. Welcome, though. God bless you. Amen. Hold on a second. Hold on. All right. Amen. And your parents are going to help you with filling out the form. And after that, Ms. DeWarn is over in the corner there, and she'll receive that information from you as we prepare for the offering. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.